This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Fridays, it is the fourth stop already, Sue Thomas. Can you believe it? Stop number four of six, I believe. We're in South County again.
It was so popular
last week at Assumption. We're back in South County.
There you go.
Off of Christopher Drive this afternoon at Queen of All Saints. It's a great location. We've been here before, right, Jane? It was a couple years ago.
I want to say it wasn't last year, but the year before.
I was here then.
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is Mary Elizabeth Coleman. Yep. We're going to introduce the panel here. My daughter was here at that one, too. I remember there were good desserts at this one. That's
desserts.
My memory for sure.
Well, I was eyeing them as I walked in.
Yes. Well, it's a quiet room right now. They're going to start doing the fish closer to four, so it's 4 to 7. They did admit that there's a bunch of people probably lining up around 3:30, 3:45, but as the afternoon progresses, we'll get a little bit noisier in here, so it's a little quiet right now so we can all hear one another. We'd invite you to come out and see the gang. By the way, we're kind of all sporting our Sue's News shirts this afternoon, right?
Get one. Hey,
yeah,
get one.
Rainford and Mary Elizabeth. We're going to have to work that
we
in.
Look awesome.
Limited edition,
yeah,
right? Very limited edition.
Get those on Amazon.
I've already I'm wearing this one, but I put mine up on eBay for later tonight, so we're just going to go ahead
millions,
and sell it.
Millions of dollars.
Millions.
Okay, a couple of things before we get started. This was unique. Jane was on time. Okay, so there you go.
You're really funny.
One out of six.
I know I'm going to jail.
Mary Elizabeth was almost late.
But you got here on time.
I know there was traffic with the school, and thank you for coming. State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, who was in the news this week, I noticed. But we'll get to that in just a little bit. Jeff Rainford from Rainford & Associates is here.
I just want to say that for Lent, I was giving up the Reardon Roundtable, but I just couldn't help it. I needed my fix too bad.
I appreciate that and chocolate.
Well,
say a rosary, it'll be okay.
You split your time down there with Ron DeSantis, but are you back here a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm here for the next 6 or 8 months on and off, yeah.
Now that the weather's nice, when you had
all that snow and stuff, it was 82 degrees down there.
Did you play golf today?
I did.
Okay, it's a beautiful day.
It was windy.
It's a two-club win, isn't it?
It was two-club win, Rainford. Yes.
Yep. All right, let's talk about, we're about a week and a half away from this mayor's race, so let's talk about some things related to the city. We'll get into some national news and the signal leak, which will occupy much of our time here this afternoon. But Jane, I had you on yesterday. The governor signed the police bill.
Yes.
Moving forward with that, that obviously was something you worked on for a long time.
5 years.
It didn't take till the last week of the session, which is kind of rare.
Yeah, it was the first bill that he signed, so it was,
But I love this because let's juxtapose what happened yesterday, the governor signing that bill, which is a big deal.
Yes.
With Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, is in town for a fundraiser or whatever
with Tish earlier today.
If that doesn't speak volumes about symbolically where this city is and where she's going,
where
I don't know what does.
I mean, he, at the end of February, had a 6.6 approval rating. So why she would want to be...
Of his constituents, not ours. It's lower here in Missouri.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
I don't know how it could be lower than six. Because there's always some people who are going to be like, well, yeah, I got it. Okay.
Whatever, he's nice. But yeah, so I wish I could be on a fly on the
wall. Why would you do that, Rainford? From a political perspective, I mean, she knows she's toast maybe. You have the mayor of Chicago, who's literally one of the most divisive people in the country right now, to come in your last week of the campaign.
Well, first of all, beggars can't be choosers, right? So who is she going to get to come in for her? He's like, you know.
Because otherwise she has to go to Kara's events.
Well, it's not only that the voters are against her, but when you lose by 30 points, all the insiders abandon you too, including some of your own supporters, right? So you have a fundraiser and nobody shows up. So my guess is A, he's the only one who shows up. B, I guess she's decided that she knows she's going to lose. Her father knows she's going
to
lose.
She has to, right?
But, you know, maybe you run out the string because, you know, you don't want to look like a quitter and you play it to the end, but she knows she's going to lose.
Well, what the hell? You referenced this, but what the heck happened? She shows up at one of Kara Spencer's events.
Weird.
Which is not, you know, typical protocol, right?
I guess she couldn't get anybody to show up to her own, so
I don't know.
She'd see where the people were.
That's what it sounds like.
With the angry face on.
Glasses, the pictures.
Yeah, the sunglasses
on
and then
in the
corner. She took police officers. I mean,
that
it's
sounds
so
like
offensive.
Desperation. That's a desperation
it's
move, Rainford.
Pathetic.
Well, it's either that's how I played it. That's how I saw it.
Is
that it kind of depends on the context. And maybe, you know, you run for office, so maybe you agree or disagree with me. When you're in a 50-50 race and you do something like that, it looks like, oh, wow, that
a
person.
A power move.
Yeah, it's a power move. But when you're lost by 30 points, you look pitiful standing in the corner there.
Yeah.
I almost felt sorry for her.
Maybe
now,
she
whether
is
she
going
did
for
it,
sympathy.
Whether she did it on purpose. Or thought that, you know, she's just so angry she's going to demonstrate her anger. I don't know. But to me, she looked pathetic.
When you say her dad knows, is Vervis, I don't, he probably blocked me on Twitter. Is he acting?
No, he's saying the same stuff about Bob Clark. He's been saying the same nonsense. And by the way, the week after she loses, he'll be saying the same stuff. And like three people like the things he says. It's almost like he's talking to himself. And then the rest of us, I used to, in the early part of the campaign, especially when he was dogging Bob, who was my client, I was reading it every day. And then it was the same stuff. And then it turned out nobody was paying any attention to him. And it's sort of like, he doesn't matter anymore.
Well, and Bob, I mean,
I think
he's wrong on almost everything, but he's well-respected, and he certainly is thoughtful, and he's not throwing
bombs. And a Democrat.
Well, I mean.
That's probably why you disagree with him.
That's why I think he's wrong all the time, but he isn't somebody who you can just brush off like that and call. I mean, I think that people are so used
to dismissing people
of saying, I'm not with this person. The racist hits on the Republicans might land. When you start going after fellow Democrats, it's really hard to have any credibility with those kinds of attacks.
I mean, yeah, he had the nerve to want to develop in the city.
Which, by the way,
that's
I think all of those are terrible, stupid attacks.
What he really wanted was not a yes. What he really wanted was a meeting where they listened to his idea and gave them a rational reason to either go forward with it
or not
go forward with it. And then the mayor lied and said, oh, yeah, they considered it and they wanted to do retail. Well, how's that retail going, number one? And number
absolutely
two, they never
nothing
did.
Is happening.
They never ever did give him the opportunity to make a full presentation on what he was trying to do. They told untruths about him over and over and over
this
again.
This is my shocked face.
Well,
it's
really amazing to me. I can't imagine ever being the mayor of St. Louis and not taking a meeting like that. I mean, it is literally mayoral malpractice. And you don't know what you're going to hear. But, I mean, if somebody's willing to come to your town and build something and has great ideas and wants to invest, how do you just say no?
Well, I actually told him not to take it personally because she did it to her own allies.
Those people who wanted to shut down the
workhouse were her allies, and they looked cross-eyed at her at one time, and that was that. She wouldn't meet with them. She criticized
them.
She declared war on the Ethical Society of Police. She did it to her own allies. When you're the mayor, you start out with this many allies, and whether you like it or not, you tick them down. She eliminated allies almost every day, and now we wonder why she got beat by 30 points.
And again, we recognize that she's going to probably be smart enough to realize she's going to lose, but does she understand why she's losing? That's the thing that's really kind of confusing to me.
No.
I know that Vervis doesn't know why she's losing because he says on Twitter why she's losing, and it has everything to do with anything except her failure.
Well, she's a black woman, obviously.
Right.
That's why. Yeah, it's
that's why she won the first time,
misogyny,
too, and why she's losing the second time. The logic is so inconsistent. It's so shallow. And
you know what it is?
People aren't buying anymore.
It's question. Like you're saying the voters are stupid. That's I think that they
there
understand.
There is a little bit of let them eat cake in there.
Yeah. Oh, Miss Travel, Miss 62 trips, and
well, what was
she's
her first
her...
one? Remember when she used to her very first one? She went to Paris to go look at the parking.
Oh no, that was when she was treasurer.
That's what
this
I'm saying.
Is not
this
new
is
behavior.
This is a consistent level of who she has always
this
been.
This is I'm getting mine. She has the in charge necklace. I mean. That to me is like, that's where you hit the new low.
So the real challenge I see is, I mean, she's done, she was done 3 weeks ago. Now we're going to have a new mayor, and that new mayor is taking on a real challenge. This city's a mess right now, and
it
I live
is.
In it. I have no plans of leaving it.
Me either.
There are corners of it, like my neighborhood are doing fine, but man, downtown is a disaster.
Well, how
the city
do you even
budgets.
Start?
I don't.
Oh,
well,
the budget.
I mean, she's got to start with city services.
Well, staffing.
But you know,
it has
but
to
you
be
go
staffing.
From there.
Yeah. Well, and that's what people, I think, are demanding at this point. But there's so much. And she's hyper-focused on St. Louis, which is good. I don't think Kara's as interested in drawing attention for national reasons or doing a stunt like that. So I certainly can appreciate that. But, yeah, this is a big challenge. I don't think there's any miracles. Plus, what kind of support will she have on the Board of Aldermen?
I mean, I think it depends. There's a couple aldermanic races that could really make a difference. There's the 7th Ward where you have Alicia Sonier and Cedric Redmond. And so if you're in the 7th, vote for Cedric because Alicia is Megan Green's reliable 8th vote. If you take that 8th vote out and she has to actually work to get, you know, people to sign on to some of this crazy legislation, it's going to be a lot harder for her. So I do think that, you know, this board could change in a way that would make things very changeable.
Well, Megan demonstrated during the Rams money debate that she has lost control of the board. So I think she's probably the next one with a target on her.
Yes.
I think it's the same way that a president, a governor, including Kehoe, a county executive, including Sam, who showed you not how to do it. It really is about retail politics. It's a lot different being the governor than it is being a senator or a representative. You basically have to serve their interests, and you have to win them over whether you like them. There were lots
That's
of aldermen we didn't like.
And you have to
lots
fight
of
on
legislators
every issue,
we
right?
didn't like.
You can't just say, you're dead to me. If you're not part of my coalition, we're going to be friends together on this issue, and we're going to fight each other on the next one.
Right.
And you got to have a way to be able to build a coalition
Correct.
On each policy
you
you're trying to pass.
You have to not take it personally.
It takes skill. It takes diplomatic skill.
Yes, and everything was personal to her. Mm-hmm. You know, Aesop. You know, I mean, when you saw those text messages, remember when those all came out?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a real window into her. And her skin was so thin that she can't handle an ounce of criticism. Well, you can't be an executive. You know what? You do. You have to suck up to everybody. And you just got to let go. You have got to let go of your personal nonsense and do the work.
And I get it. You only get through thicker skin through scarring. I mean, that's the way you get thick skin is you're scarred.
Well,
but
or
you
your parents raised you,
to.
Right? And you're
right.
secure in your own skin.
Or humble.
Exactly.
But
or humble.
But you have to just suck it up.
And do the work.
Shake it off and have a short memory and try to find something you've got
it. It's called service. Not I'm the neat guy.
Jane Duker is here, State Senator Mary Elizabeth Cohen, Jeff Rainford as well. Rainford, on the police front, let's talk about that. Because now that this is going to take effect and over the next few months we'll get these commissioners and the governor will appoint, they have to be approved by the Senate, I guess. What's the realistic expectation of turning things around? I mean, that's certainly not in and of itself going to change things in the city of St. Louis.
No, and it didn't while we had state control. And I think if the governor and supporters of state control continue to make the claim that crime will go down and it doesn't, then they're going to have an issue. I wouldn't do it if I were they. I think that the one thing to watch in the next year is one thing and one thing only, and that is whether Chief Tracy survives this or not. Now, I don't know Chief Tracy, and I'm not his advocate or whatever, but I do know Gabe Gore, and Gabe says that he and Chief Tracy are doing a good job together and we need to keep him, and I do know there's a very weak bench within the department. So if in the next year Chief Tracy ends up being in a strong position to be able to run the department under the control of the board, then I think you would say that state control did no damage. Now, if on the other hand, Chief Tracy's run out of St. Louis and we get some super weak chief and things start falling apart, then there's going to be critics of it. So I think to me in the next year, that's what everybody ought to be looking for. One is who the governor appoints and who the Senate allows to go through. And number two is, do we keep Chief Tracy or do we get, you know, some lesser chief.
I was going to just say real quick two things. I'd like to stop calling it state control. After the bill ended up out of the Senate, what it is citizens from the city of St. Louis
Absolutely.
Who have a
it
vested interest.
Been.
It has been from the first filing. It is now. So the state control that Republicans are in charge is just garbage and it's a distraction.
Well, that's actually not what the first bill said, but it is what the last bill said.
Fair enough. It's what was signed into law.
It was always supposed to be.
And then the other point I was going to say is that if the city, if the city hadn't been in such a terrible position that the chief had to be searched from the business community, funding the search, funding the efforts, they couldn't even handle their own essential services, right? The people who are doing it are the business community. So
changed.
I don't think they're going to throw out Chief Tracy after the business community helped fund and lead the effort to bring him into the city.
Then it'll be
They're going to give him a chance to do the job.
That'll be good.
I don't know. I kind of disagree on that.
I thought you would because the union can't stand him.
No, that's absolutely false.
That's what they're telling people.
Okay, you know better than I do.
I can just tell you what Jay, Jay's telling people.
Did you see there's
kind of
Tell him to stop saying it.
All right, well, so what's your perspective on that?
I do think there is a big issue. Because when you're the chief, you know, social worker, that tends to degrade your ability to lead police officers for policing.
Well, so here's the thing.
All of the social worker stuff is not going to be controlled by this board. All of that that's in the police budget, the millions of dollars that have nothing to do with policing, are now going to get pulled out of the budget. And the board is only their job, which is always should have been that way. Police officers should just do their job. They are not social workers. They're not, you know, the department is not social work. Go to the Department of Health or whatever, wherever you want to go. But that's all leaving. So if he can still be a police chief after being the chief, I mean, he would go to Jeff City over and over again and talk about how great the Office of Violence Prevention is when all of them went to jail.
Yeah. Well, he has not impressed
me. That's a credibility problem.
When you say lesser chief, I don't know how you can get a lot lesser in some of these candidates.
Let's try
myself.
I mean, but this will be the politics. We'll see whether or not it's, you know, we're being told that this will be less politics. In my experience in the mayor's office is that there was way more politics when you had a governor appointing a police board. But it is what it is. We're going to have it. But I think the litmus test is are the board members going to play politics with a chief who's unpopular with the union? And then we'll see.
I mean, I was in the governor's office when there was state control. It wasn't state control. It was still citizen control. And here's the thing. You appoint good people, and you never want to hear about it again. This idea that Governor Kehoe wants to come in and run the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department is a joke.
I thought we just appointed people on that board so they can get cars out of tow lots and stuff like
right.
that.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened when
nephews,
Francis was mayor.
And
that's exactly what happened.
And have lights in their cars.
And we had a police commissioner who was hitting on the men. We had a police commissioner who got his nephew out of jail. We had a police commissioner who had police officers come when he had a private party to provide security. They did all kinds. They get badges. One of them got a light on his car.
I mean, do you want to talk about all the stuff that's been going on in the department since there has
and
been
and
no
it all
board
happened,
control.
Jane. It all happened under state control. I get that it was 8-10 years ago and we don't remember it, but the same nonsense was happening.
I like this battle between those two. We're going to take a break, though. Mary Elizabeth and I are going to serve referee Jeff Rainford, Jane Duker, State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman. It's a live Reardon Roundtable Fish Fry Fridays. We're out in South County at Queen of All Saints. Come see us.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live at Queen of All Saints, it's Fish Fry Friday out here, a live broadcast. We've been doing these through Lent, and we have a couple left. Fred reminded me we have a couple more locations. If you're looking to get out and see the show, we'd love to have you over the course of the next couple of weeks. We even have an Illinois stop, Ott's Tavern on the 11th in Millstadt, St. Mary Magdalene in Brentwood next week. Jane Duker is here. Sue Thomas will do a live Sue's News in the next hour. We got the whole gang. Fred is here. Ethan's going to make his way out here as well, and he's only been to a couple of these. State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman is on our panel. And Jeff Rainford from Rainford and Associates. Before I get to some national stuff in the Signal chat kerfuffle, et cetera, you made some news, I mentioned, this week because you decided you're not going to run for re-election in the Senate. This is your first term. What happened there?
Nothing, really. I promised my kids over the summer that I wasn't going to do it. And they kept asking me, when are you going to announce? Because people, you know, in a re-elect, there starts to get some chatter.
Right.
And I was gonna get mad and decide to file because screw those guys. And my kids could see it coming. And they're like, so we talked about over spring break and announced and said, it's all yours. You people go build a Go build a race.
So this would be for next year in 26?
Yeah, it would be up. So I've got another year and a half in the Senate
right.
to finish out my
term. But it's hard for me to believe, like, so 22 would have been when you were elected.
Yeah.
That's hard for me to believe that was just, you know, already well, a couple of years ago.
The thing about it is it's too bad she's leaving because the kind of people I want to run for these offices are the people who don't want them. And then, of course, the problem with that is that as soon as they don't want them, then we get people who do want them, and that's the
and
kind
that's
of
the
mess
recipe.
That we're in.
Well, and that's the other part of announcing earlier is the people who I'd like to take my seat, they need time to fundraise and put together a campaign. It's almost like running a small business to put together a real Senate race. They need time to be able to put a team together and build a race.
Is it going to get crowded?
Oh, really, really?
Will it really?
It already is. So David Castile, who took my spot in the House, the 97th, he's announced he's running. By the way, he's who I'm supporting.
He would be like the prohibitive favorite, right?
I think so, yeah.
In theory?
I mean, he's in it. He's doing a great job. He's got an ability to raise money. He's a small businessman, a great, impressive story. And then I think every other state rep in the district, I've got five of them, are looking at it. And then, you know, some MATA lawyer who obviously I'm a tort reformer. I don't want that guy in. And then, you know, the Freedom Bros are going to put somebody up.
There you go.
I thought the Freedom Bros were aligned with the trial lawyers.
Well,
they were.
Sometimes. TBD.
Not always. All right, let's talk
about... more often than I'd like. I mean, it's kind of been pathetic to watch the co-opting of the Republican Party by the trial bar.
Let's get to the Signal Chat deal, because that was the big story of the week. Mark Penn said this on Twitter. He's a Democrat, worked with the Obama team. He said, seriously, you think that Jeffrey Goldberg got added to a high-level national security conversation by chance? Maybe you thought COVID was the wet market... from the wet market and not from a lab that was right there and contained COVID-like viruses. The chance that this was done, and by the way, I agree with him, the chance that this was done by an operative looking to embarrass the administration is about 90%. The chance someone added him because they were looking for another Jeffrey is about 10%. This was a security breach, but most likely one by a partisan trying to undermine the administration than by a participant on the chain. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, by the way, nor am I.
I am.
I just played the odds, and the odds was it was an innocent mistake or low and deliberate act or high. And I think so, because we all recognize how we could send, if I'm sending a message to Jeff Johnson in Rainford, your contact comes up in my text messages, we've all done it. It makes sense. The difference here is that Mike Walz did not have Jeffrey Goldberg's contact anywhere.
No, but I mean, how does Bernie Sanders get a hold of this thing to be, or somebody like him, I'm just picking him out of a hat. How does somebody on the left get access to
it?
It's almost
this is supposed
like
to
maybe
be a
they
national
knew.
Security matter. Now, I get that they technically said it wasn't, but us planning an attack is generally
thought to be a national security matter.
It's certainly serious.
So how does somebody on the left get access to
because
this?
Because I think the reporter probably told them, didn't they?
Because, Jeff, that's the whole point. That's what Mark Penn's saying. If you think that this was sort of just an act, what is the odds that Jeffrey Goldberg, of all people,
but what is the odds
included?
That somebody outside that group of people did it? You could get into Signal
Jeff,
to do it.
Where,
I don't know. That's the question.
Think, you know, every time, and you say you're not a conspiracy theorist, the more I have served in public office, the more radicalized I have gotten. I firmly wear my tinfoil hat now, and they're batting 1,000. The Wuhan virus, as you say, oh, no. We're not covering maybe we'll get a chance to talk about this a little bit later, but the NPR saying, oh, we should have covered the Biden story.
Yeah.
Oops, I guess we should have. I mean,
Fund
thing
us.
After thing after thing after thing. Ends up being true.
This does not seem to me that it could have been
an accident. In the first administration, they did everything they could to undermine the Trump agenda.
Right.
Everything they could. Okay. Why would that not be continuing today?
It is, first of all, if they've put themselves in a position when they're talking about national security matters where an intern in Bernie Sanders' office can undermine it, that's a problem in itself.
Absolutely.
What I would be able to buy is the Trump administration, somebody on that thing wanted to embarrass somebody else and did it.
Well, that's what Mark is
saying.
Well, I thought he was saying with somebody outside, like a Democrat
a
lifelong, you know, somebody
who's
involved.
Well, it's got to be
somebody
who was on there. So that means that, you know,
somebody's
now,
under attack.
If there's somebody within the Trump administration that is trying to undermine somebody else in the Trump administration, then he needs a chief of staff who can enforce discipline and stop that from happening, or that place is going to come unglued. You
or
can't allow
fire
that.
The nonpartisan, quote unquote, staff who continue to undermine the administration like they did in the first Trump race.
I think there's going to be some questions.
That's
Look, Mike Walz is the guy. He goes on Laura Ingraham's show a couple of nights ago. Laura pressed him, asked some really good questions. He did not really have that answer for how that could have happened, so that's still a mystery. There is some reporting where people feel like, you know, Trump was pretty hacked off about this, justifiably so, and Mike Walz was the name that was put on the line. He didn't react well when people suggested Hegseth might be, you know, fired or should resign. It doesn't make any sense because he wasn't involved in this. But I do think there's going to be further investigation of this, and maybe they'll come up with an answer, but it could be one of those things we don't know. How this happened, which
regardless, You should never go on Signal and talk about important stuff. I mean,
maybe not,
worst,
Jane, but I don't know enough
worst.
About this, but people were, they were using this in the previous administration. I had a guest on yesterday that uses it because, but it's encrypted. I don't use it. I don't know enough about it, but apparently this isn't the first time it's been used.
No, WhatsApp, Signal, these are very common because people don't want to do text messages
because they aren't secure.
But
it's doesn't
not...
the CIA have something
exactly.
better than Signal? Seriously?
Maybe.
Seriously.
I mean, you'd think so.
The Chinese can crack into Signal in about 8 seconds.
I mean,
maybe.
SLMPD
I have no idea.
Can.
I mean, there was a pretty funny SNL skit, which was the first time in years they've been funny, where they talked about... what text threads you're on that you wish wouldn't get leaked.
Right.
I mean, people do say things. The mayor was saying that, too. What was the text messages the mayor was on we were talking about earlier?
But if this is, again, I think Mary Elizabeth and I have agreed, this is a serious situation.
For sure.
It needs
Absolutely.
To be investigated. We don't want it to happen again. But to make this seem like this is some sort of, you know, big national security crisis when you had a party that let millions of people flood across the border for the last 3.5 years. A lot of this kind of doesn't ring very true with us.
Or maybe the auto pen. Can we talk
please.
About the auto
if
pen
If a Democrat
a little?
Had done this, you all would
I agree.
Be
That's probably true.
Around.
If a Democrat had done this, I agree, and I said this
and
earlier in the week.
Be.
But let's put it into perspective here. This
I agree.
Is
Hold
only
on. I agree
thing
with
that
them.
You guys have right
yeah.
now.
Here's the perspective. It's Mickey Mouse. It's sloppy.
It's sloppy.
It's
and
not
stupid.
What. Listen, I. If this was the Department of Transportation or something, I'd be like, oh, okay. When you're talking about national security, when you are sloppy,
Got
people die.
Okay, Jeff,
it is sloppy.
If Jeffrey Goldberg's name wasn't put on this string, is it sloppy?
They should not be because. I mean, hold on, because
they're
you
using
make,
this
because you make a mistake and there's not a consequence. Doesn't mean you
but,
keep repeating the
but
mistake.
What if it
until
wasn't
there
a mistake? What if it was something nefarious that went on? Again,
and
I don't think this was an
nobody
accident.
Is
being
saying,
on Signal is the mistake.
Is the mistake. You don't go to an open app that I can download from Apple Store to discuss national security.
But I don't know enough about national
Jane,
security.
I may agree
true.
With you on that. Okay, I'm not taking issue with that. What I'm saying is
that's negligent.
It's been used by a lot of people in the government, so I don't know
Again,
how
the
we
Department
can decide.
Of Transportation, I don't really care.
Right.
If they've got plans to build a new highway and they're going to put a bid out and the bid gets out and the bidders know about
Doesn't
it and
matter.
They have to rebid it,
and
I don't
you
care.
Can fix it.
This
yeah.
is national security.
Right.
This is really important stuff.
Right. And it does scare me because if they're fast and loose, I mean... You know, you
that
need to
causes
have...
me to roll my eyes just a little bit, not because I don't agree that this was serious, but after the level of abuse that we have seen in the prior administration, it's hard to, it's just hard for people to believe the
and by
pearl
the way,
clutching.
And they were
been...
abused by you guys.
But
so
they
it's
have not...
only fair that the same standard applies.
Who's been running from the questions? They've asked, Mike Wall's been asking questions. Rubio's been answering questions. Hegseth's been answering questions. Trump's been answering questions.
Nobody in their right mind thinks this is the unraveling of the Trump administration, but. If they make a mistake like this every month, it'll be the unraveling of the Trump. They need to tighten things up for their own good.
Or maybe it wasn't their mistake and somebody did it on purpose like they did in the first administration to try to block Trump's agenda. That's all.
Well, if that's the case, I'll find out. Yeah.
There will be about 35% of the people who will believe that, but there's 65% of the people who will not believe that.
Right.
Well, what if they prove it?
Well, they still
well,
believe
yeah.
it because
exactly.
they won't
so,
print
hold
it.
On.
Later.
That's a really good point. If you say if the 30 if the Trumpers say that the 35% say that this is a conspiracy and they don't prove it, 65% will not believe it. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Okay. I got you. Let's talk about the NPR hearing, Mary Elizabeth. You mentioned that. That was really interesting. I don't know if you guys got to watch it. Catherine Marr, who's the person in charge of NPR, was thoroughly embarrassed. I mean, she had nothing either. She all of a sudden had to admit that her feelings have evolved over the last 4 years. Really?
Yeah, come
Your
on.
Feelings have evolved in the last 4 months, and they've evolved because you're going to get millions of dollars of funding ripped away from your budget. That's the only reason that you're
Thank
changing
you.
Your opinion. Thank you for hitting
really?
The bell.
Yeah. You don't think Elon Musk and other people's opinions have changed, Anheuser-Busch's, whatever? It's
no, and
common.
That's good. We want.
It's
listen,
common.
I don't want to
go
punish
with the winner.
People.
You go with
Give
the winner.
Me a
Jeff,
break.
I also don't want to, by the way, punish people when they start to do what we want them to do, but this reminded me the most of when my kid gets caught and they're like, oh, I'm really sorry I ate the cookies that were for dessert, when really they're just upset they got caught.
But this is why you should care, because then when the Democrats take over, which inevitably will, they'll switch back. Then when the Republicans take over, which they inevitably will, they'll switch back again. I mean, we just get whipsawed.
But the important issue here is bias at NPR and federal funding. And look,
right.
here's the deal. You don't have, this is what I told the dean of the University of Missouri Journalism School a couple of weeks ago, David Kirpies. You don't have to believe me. I'm a conservative wacko talk show host, right? How about you believe the guy that was there for decades, Yuri Berliner, who has Correct. Written about this extensively and exposed the bias inside. It's not debatable. This has happened. It continues to happen. She acts like it's a surprise when they, you know, tell her the other day that 97%, if not 100% of the people that are hired by NPR are lefties. Of course they are. That's what they do. They have an agenda. So I don't care what they do. If you want to cater to that liberal audience, we cater
Go
to a conservative
to make money
audience.
Doing it.
I don't care what you do, but I'm not donating my Correct. Federal tax dollars to your nonsense. It's a simple as
well,
that.
I mean, these are simple facts on that point. Yes, I listen to NPR. Everybody I know who listens to NPR is either independent or votes Democrat. I don't really know a Republican. So clearly it has a left of center. Some would say far left. I actually don't. The stuff that's far left, like their education coverage, I don't listen to. All of it is left. There's no doubt about it. And if the American people don't want to pay for that, then that's a public policy matter. But we can never. You cannot say with a straight face that it ever was conservative or that it ever will be conservative.
But
it's not.
I'm also not going to say that everything on NPR is bad. Look, Jason Rosenbaum is a good reporter here in St. Louis. He's probably one of the best reporters.
Plus, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, that was a great show. It was 20 years old, but...
But I'm talking about federal subsidies.
That's a policy matter people are going to have to decide.
I never understood why the government ever funded a media outlet. I like the separation of media from government.
The airwaves were given, given licenses, and you had to, in exchange for that, have the news hour, and there was some understanding that there would be unbiased coverage. All of that has gone so far away, nobody can even think about
it. It was a long time ago. We called it educational TV, and that's because that's what they put on there, Sesame Street.
Right.
Whatever
so it's very different in the 70s.
After that,
but things are different.
Mr. Rogers,
now.
Right? I mean, we didn't call it public TV. We called it educational TV. So yeah, it has changed.
We called it PBS. Yeah.
I mean, me personally, I do like. I don't watch.
I love Big Bird.
I really like the entertainment program on public TV. There's this thing, Wolf
that
Hall,
great.
That's coming on, and it's gonna be really good. I like it. But if they got rid of the news and stuff, you know, it wouldn't be the end of my world.
Jeff Rankford's here. State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman and Jane. Let me before we take the break, because this is where I was a little bit of an outlier on, I guess, the conservative side or the Republican side this week. Were you guys dialed into the Jasmine Crockett thing where she refers to the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, who's in a wheelchair, as Governor Hot Wheels? Jasmine Crockett grew up here in St. Louis. She went to Country Day. She went somewhere else, too. Rosati Kane, I think. Jane.
Yeah, was it Rosati?
So
yeah.
All of a sudden, she goes to Houston. She is a member of the state legislature for one term, I think. She ends up in Congress. She changes the way she even talks because now she acts like she's invented a character, okay? But she said something about Greg Abbott. It's not really the first time. The reaction was, we need to censure Jasmine Crockett. I think that's ridiculous.
It wasn't even funny.
The way that some Republicans are reacting to her saying Governor Hot Wheels is like Democrats.
Well, that's
how you
say.
Guys do it.
Well, and we don't want to adopt their policies. We don't want to adopt their playbook.
We're going to cancel.
It's ridiculous. Let me
tell
you. Any talk of a censure over that is ludicrous.
No,
and
it's
any
absurd.
Republican suggesting that should be thoroughly embarrassed. And by the way, when I've had guests on
You're
this week and I've tossed
air.
Out my opinion, they've all agreed with me. So I don't know who these people are that think it was some sort of big deal.
No, I don't either. I mean, I used to call the governor of Texas Governor Goodhair. Not the current governor, but, you know, Rick Perry had nice hair. Sometimes people just make jokes, and
guys,
it's not the end of the world.
You guys know this better than anyone. You know what you do with that? And I saw somebody
you
do it on Twitter.
It.
No, you do
you
better.
You make a joke about
you,
it,
you put
and you
You
lean
put an
in.
Emoji on there where he's actually got
Correct.
Hot wheels,
right.
and it looks like he's
right.
doing what he does in
right.
Texas and flipping into a positive
Correct.
Story. It's not that hard, right?
That's
it
right.
is
J.D.
not
J.D.
that
Vance
hard.
And the memes. I mean, come on. You just flip it, and you move on.
And they're funny. And it doesn't matter.
Right.
And it means nothing. And if we can't have memes and jokes, well,
and
we
thank
you.
And stones.
All right. Hey, look at that. We all agree on something Yay. Here. It's the Reardon Roundtable. We're live out here at Queen of All Saints. We're going to have some people lining up for fish very, very soon. We'd love to see you in person. We have Sue's News at the start of next hour, of course, and also Paul Hall and Entertainment in Cusimano. Come on out. Christopher Drive off of not too far from Lima Ferry or Tesla Ferry. I always forget which one it is.
We're
going to go to traffic.
Telegraph.
We're coming. Telegraph. See, I got them all wrong. I used to ride my bike on this road. Back in a moment. All right, here we're live out here. Fish Fry Fridays continue. Queen of All Saints Parish in Oakville. We'd love to see. We've got the line building here this afternoon for the fish, and the room is going to get crowded. We'll have a live Sue's News in the next hour. By the way, I've kind of undersold this, and I can't believe I have. We have George Gray from The Price is Right coming out live in the 5 o'clock hour to do a that's my phone ringing.
I was
going to
say.
To do a live Price is Wrong, and we're going to love that. That's
oh my gosh,
always
that's
fun.
So good.
And we'll also have Melissa Bowman, who is a friend of the show. She is a franchise owner of Crumble Cookies, which is delicious. And they just opened a new location inside the stadium. Speaking of the stadium, good start for the Cardinals. We'll get to that here in a second. Before we get out of here, a couple more topics. So Election Day, I think yesterday I might have messed up and said Election Day is Tuesday. It's a week from Tuesday.
Correct.
It's the 8th. I'm losing track of time, the end of March.
But early voting has started.
Early voting has started.
Thank you, excuses.
Jeff. Appreciate that. Jeff Rainford, State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, Jane Duker. Explain Prop B, if you can squeeze it in between your fried shrimp and fries here.
Well, the hush puppies.
Okay.
They're so good. I mean, that's what I'm here for is the hush puppies. But... okay, Prop B
in St. Louis County.
In St. Louis County, it was put on the ballot by the county council. It allows them to relieve a department director of their duties with 5 of 7 votes. So you have examples in St. Louis County where you had, remember Dr. Khan, who lied about being assaulted and had racial slurs, you know, hurled at him, and then they got the video and he lied.
He was supposedly the health director.
He was the health director, yeah. And the council voted him down. They disallowed his appointment. Page still kept him so that, you know, there was nothing they could do to get rid of the guy. I mean, he lied. He lied about the chair of the council.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate. He's the county executive. Should he not have that right?
So I'm actually going to take a little different tack. I think it's kind of a dumb thing. And as a pure government matter, it's not good government. Having said that, Sam Page has so alienated the council. I mean, we talked earlier about how important it is for Kara Spencer to have a good relationship with the majority of members of the board, the governor, with the legislature. Sam having one ally on a 7-member council would be like the governor having 4 senators out of 34. It's can't
abysmal.
Govern that way. It's abysmal. So I think, listen, I haven't studied it. It looks like bad government to me, but he brought it on himself by... You know, by the ham-handed way he has worked with the county council. And so he kind of has it coming. I will say this, though. If it fails, I think it fails because it was bad government, not because it was a vote of confidence in Sam.
But hang on, Mary Lou, but why is it bad government, just to be clear?
I personally think that the mayor, and I've worked in the mayor's office for 16 years. I don't know about the county executive. I think it's the same. Mayor ought to be able to have his own people in his cabinet. The president should have his own people in the cabinet. Now, if you want to have advice and consent, that's fine. But once the governor has his cabinet, the legislature shouldn't be able to come in and get rid of him. Having said that, again, just like... the reason we're going to have state control is a failure by Tashara. The reason this thing is on the ballot
because
is
because
of a failure by Sam.
Mary Elizabeth.
I was just going to say 5 of 7 is a hard thing to get.
It is.
I think that you have a really high level threshold. This is not saying anybody can do it. Jane and I were talking in the break, and she was saying, and that's correct, that a lot of other
500
political
municipalities have this provision.
Okay.
In fact, it's required by state law for 3rd and 4th.
Well, by the way, one other thing. The Post-Dispatch is against it. That automatically
bing, bing, bing,
should
bing,
be
bing, bing.
Well, wait a minute. They're against Tashara, too.
Okay, well, you got a good point there.
They got one thing.
Finally.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
I mean, oh, wow, following Scam Page. Brilliant.
We want to talk baseball because I love baseball, but holy moly. I turned the game off last night. I had, for the first time in a while, I could watch the Blues because I finally got...
I was going to say the Blues.
But I finally got the FanDuel Sports on Amazon because I hadn't had it throughout the winter. So I turned the game on, the Blues game on. It's 2-0, the Predators. I'm like, well, you know what? They're going to lose. Of course, it's time. They've won 7 in a row. They come back. They win that game. The Cardinals win the home opener.
Yep.
So it was a good start. But Jeff, the Blues right now, kind of crazy.
Yeah, so it really just goes to tell you how important a coach or manager is. So, this guy they got.
Jim Montgomery.
From Boston. Is, you know, he's a top-tier coach, and it took him a little while to get going. If we're going to be honest about it, and I'm a super-duper Blues fan, I do work for the team and that sort of thing, their level of talent is probably above average, but he is really getting the most out of it.
And that matters.
And I look at the Cardinals, and if you go back to probably 1968 when they were in the World Series after that, the Cardinals were only successful during 2 stints, and that's Whitey Herzog and Tony La Russa, who are Hall of Fame managers. Manager and coach matters a lot, and I think that's what we're seeing with Montgomery.
Well, they're getting hot at the right time.
On the Marmol front, a lot of people think maybe the jury is out on him. I understand your point completely. But, look, we're all fans of the Cardinals. We want them to achieve. I think that there's some legitimate concern based on what happened in the spring and based on what happened over the winter and
so
the lack of things that happened
changed.
Over the winter.
Yeah, baseball's changed in a lot of ways. One of the ways is it used to be that you would have the manager on the field who is a mid-level executive was the most important most important part of the managerial team. Then when they started doing data – Then the front office became more important, and the manager was just supposed to do what the general manager and the analytic people
Mike
told
Schilt
you.
Mike Schilt found that out.
Exactly. That's
way.
Why he's not here anymore.
Right.
I still think that because these are men playing these games, they need to be motivated. Things change every day. You can't just run a team with a computer. You need to run a team with a great manager. And I have no idea whether Ollie Marmol is a great manager or not, but the Cardinals have not won without great managers.
Well, let's just be optimistic as we head into April. It could be a really fun sports month if the Blues continue on this role, and we'll see what the Cardinals do, because they have a tough schedule in this first 5-6 weeks. And
we'll get off to
a bad start, that's going to really set a tone for fans not wanting to come here over the summer, et cetera. Rainford, great to see you. We got to get out and play golf now that you're back here. Mary Elizabeth, thank you very much for coming down here and visiting. Jane, you're going to hang out.
I'm hanging out.
We all have our Sue's News shirts on, limited edition. You might be able to bid on one this afternoon. Sue's got a live Sue's News. We're back from Queen of All Saints off of Christopher Drive in Oakville this afternoon. Come see us.